The Word of God is something that we want written in our heart, but it does not get written on our hearts instantaneously. It is something that is grafted. And if any of you guys have ever owned an orchard, which probably none of you ever have, when you graft, you take a piece of a tree that is growing and you cut it off. You have severed all connection between it and life. It will die. It will start dying in a moment. By 12 hours from the time you cut it off, the leaves will be withered and it will not be alive anymore. That's how you graft. So you take this tree and then you go and you put it into the trunk or the root or wherever you want it, into another tree where it needs to start living off the sustenance that it gets with a new connection with life. That grafting, somebody would be able to go up to a week later and yank it right out and it wouldn't be there anymore. It is not healed. It is not grown together. It is just set in there. And it takes some time for that to become a permanent part of the tree. So, the Word of God was engrafted. And if that Word of God stays engrafted in you, it's going to do something for you. What? Save your souls. Now, we have got a very, very important subject here coming the next few verses that I think is one of the most misunderstood subjects in modern Christianity that there is. We're going to call this subject the word-based religion. We have today, at least in our country, we have differing views of religion and differing ideas of how to be saved. If I were to ask you people tonight how you can be saved, what is the correct answer? Okay. Is there ever been anybody who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and has not been saved? Well, the Bible talks about some. The Bible tells us that the devils believe on Christ and they are not saved. In John chapter 2, I didn't look this one up here, but let's see, it's in verse 23. It says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." So we have a bunch of people here who Jesus saw the insides of their heart. They believed on him, but Jesus saw their hearts and saw that they were not real and did not mean anything, and he made no commitment to them. He did not receive them, even though they believed on him. Now we're not arguing here with Doug tonight, who said believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, or Brandon, whichever one said that, because that is what the Scripture says we have to do to be saved. It says we have to believe on Christ, and whoever believes on him will be saved. But in James, we're going to find out that later in the book, that faith, that is believing on Christ, that does not contain works with it, is not alive, and it doesn't do anything for anybody. Okay? Now, what James tells us there is that faith without works is dead. But what he does not tell us there is that faith with works is sometimes also dead. But the other scriptures tell us that. In Matthew chapter 7, it tells us that. Faith with works is dead. Listen to this one. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So Jesus here tells us about some people who believe on his name and have works to go with it. It is not a dead faith. It is a living faith. It is a faith that works. We've been hearing about that for the last 10 years. We're not saved by works. We're saved by faith that works. We are not saved by faith that works either. We are saved by faith that does what God told it to do. That's the only faith we're saved by. Now, guys, we got something important to settle here, because as I said, today, if you were to go up to any person in modern Christianity, what is the thing that they will tell you are saved by? Well, first of all, let's go to the fundamentalists, if there are any left. Let's go to the Bible-believing Bible church, where they still believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and let's ask them what you are saved by. They will tell you, by believing on Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, go to the more liberal churches, still the churches that profess to believe the Bible, still the churches that are evangelical, basically, in doctrine, and that aren't a cult. Okay, go ask them, and you'll start getting a lot further down answer. It's not believing on Jesus Christ anymore with many of them. It's just we believe in God. If we believe in God, we'll be saved. Well, you know, actually, everybody on earth that is religious believes in God. Now, many of them have idols for God. Some of them have Buddha for God. Some of them have the God of the Bible for a God. Some of them have the God in heaven, but not the God of the Bible for a God. And many of them have many, 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 many other gods. And actually, Christianity today is becoming so ecumenical that we say if somebody believes in God, they are a Christian. Actually, not at all. Not necessarily at all, because actually, the last report that I heard when I was younger, and I haven't seen this recently, but some 86% of the United States of America believes in Christ, and I don't remember if it was any further than that, but like some 86% of the population of the United States believes in God, and 86% of the population of the United States is not Christian. In fact, today, right now, last report I heard about marriage was only 3% of young people getting married are virgins. Now, that narrows down, at least at that age in life, at least among the young people, ages 18 to 30, only 3% of them are Christian. Just by that one sin alone that God says that you can't be saved if you are guilty of it, unless you've repented. So, yes, that is true. Depending on what age you're going to take them at, okay? They're unconverted age or they're converted age. Because anyone who becomes a Christian at one time repents of their sin. So yeah, I do see what you're saying there. However, I don't think, in my personal opinion, that 3%, just because you are a virgin when you get married, does not mean you are a Christian. And it is very doubtful if the percentage of people who are really Christian in the United States of America today is even 1%. When you walk around and see the fruit of the people's lives who are living all around us, it's doubtful if it's 1%. Okay, anyway, 86% claim to believe in God. Now, one time I had a person that was, I think, slightly irritated at me, talking to me about a church that I have no idea why. I don't even remember why the conversation was, what it was, but I think that he thought that I thought I was something special. That's what I think he thought, because what he was telling me. And he told me sternly, "You guys up there in Rhinelander are..." I forget. It was, you know, "You guys up there in Rhinelander are believe in Jesus. And this people down here in this church believe in Jesus." As though that made us equal. We all both believed in Christ. And I don't remember the exact phrase he used. He might have said, "You're following Christ," or whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is, this is the equalizing factor in Christian minds today. Some a little bit more stricter, some a little bit looser, but basically the determining factor by everybody to determine if somebody is a Christian is, do they believe in Jesus Christ for salvation? That is not the determining factor that the Bible gives us. The Bible gives us some other higher standard. There is one thing, only one thing. There's only one thing in all of heaven and earth. There's only one thing that ever has been or ever will be that actually stands above the name of Jesus. What is it? What? The Bible. And the Bible says that in Psalm 138. In verse 2, he says, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Now, this gets scary, because what percentage of the world worships God? Let's just take America, for example. What percentage of America worships God? What percentage, guys? This is a very simple number that you don't have to actually go out and do canvassing to figure out the answer, because the Bible tells us the answer. What percentage of the United States of America, and for that matter the entire world, will at one time after their birth worship God? Okay, what does the Bible tell us there? You got it. Romans 14, verse 11 says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." every single person that has ever been born from Adam to the end of the world is going to at one time drop on their knees before God and worship Him. Every single person. But most of them are going to be cast away. It doesn't matter. Well, you say, well, that's the judgment day. There's no place for repentance at the judgment day. The Bible doesn't actually tell us that specifically. It maybe hints at it, but it doesn't really tell us specifically there's no place for repentance at the judgment day. But all the people who are living on earth. I'm not advocating repentance at the judgment seat. What I am trying to say here is, you say if somebody wants to argue, well, that's at the judgment day, so they can't repent then. We just read from Matthew about somebody who believed on Christ when they were on earth, and it didn't help them then. We read in John chapter 2 about somebody who believed on Christ, and it didn't help them. And then Jesus tells us in John chapter 9, John chapter 12. Jesus cried, this is verse 44, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth, and him that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So Jesus said at the judgment day, he is not going to be a judge at the judgment day. At the judgment day, Jesus is not going to get to stand there and determine if you are righteous or not. He has a book that he goes by. And every person is going to pass the judgment day on the manual. The book is going to let them in, or the book is going to keep them out. If they listen to what the book said, they can go in. If they disobeyed what the book said, they are out. There's going to be no personal feelings involved. There's going to be no personal friendships. Nobody is going to have higher rights because they were born into a Christian family. Nobody is going to be treated special there at all. They are going to have a book that is going to show if they did what was written or not, if they obeyed Christ or not. Now, I am a cultist with everything that I'm saying tonight, but I want you guys to hear this because this is very important. I do not believe that there is a single person in heaven tonight, nor will there be for all of eternity, that saved themselves by good works. Abraham wasn't. We are not. The people under the law were not. Nobody, nowhere is going to be in heaven because they saved themselves by good works. If you are a Christian, if you are going to get to heaven, you are going to get there by the blood of Jesus Christ. In our day, having the death of Christ passed and the knowledge of Christ written, most everybody is saved through believing on his name. Not everybody. Okay, there are people, likely there are people in heaven who are saved. Well, actually, I shouldn't say likely. I know for a fact there are people in heaven who are saved who never believed on him. Because we all believe that all babies that die go to heaven. Saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. The scripture teaches that. Anyone who is below the age of accountability, who could not have made a choice for themselves, is automatically saved. They've already been redeemed. So, not everybody in heaven has to believe on Christ. It is the only way of salvation. But there are exceptions. And some exceptions include babies. Other exceptions may include somebody who, in every country and land, that fears God and works righteousness is accepted of him, as Peter found out in the book of Acts. They had not apparently believed on Christ. They were not baptized in his name, but they were all Christians. At least they were all saved. Salvation is through Christ. The way that we get saved is through believing on his name. The distinguishing feature that makes a person a true believer and a true Christian is somebody who lives out the Bible in their lives. That is the only standard. It is the differentiating standard between Christians and all other people on the earth. If the Pentecostals are a follower of Jesus, and this church is a follower of Jesus, then we should go to either church and it makes no matter, right? And if the Baptists believe that salvation through Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and we believe that salvation through Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, then there's no difference. We could as well go to their church as this church. If our Christian brother somewhere across the country that we love and have as a close friend believes in Christ, and we believe in Christ, then we should be friends, and we should be one and the same person. We should be in good fellowship together because we both believe in Christ. And Christianity today is taking those standards and making Jesus Christ the point of judgment on which we judge everybody. And there are many people in heaven who never believed on Christ, and there are many people going to hell who believed on Christ all of their lives. And that believing on Christ is not a standard that anybody can use anywhere to determine a person's Christianity. It is the way to heaven. Our keeping the Word of God does not save us. You can reject Christ and try to keep the Word of God until you are 99 and a half years old, and you will not ever accomplish your goal. You will fall short of the mark every time of doing a perfect job. Salvation can only be through Jesus Christ because you aren't good enough to save yourself, no matter what. Salvation can only be through faith. If salvation was through any other thing than faith, we would fall because we would fail of the goal, because God accepts us not based on having been good people. He accepts us based on the fact that we put our trust in Christ. But then, after that, first and foremost centerpiece of the church is established. There's something that sits above the head of Jesus Christ as his crown, as the thing that is the one thing that is exalted above his own name, which we have faith in for salvation. That is the one thing that sits at the head of the church that modern Christianity has rejected and thrown out. And that is his word. Now, if you guys start talking, if you get into this liberal mindset, this ecumenical mindset that all these people are such good people and they so believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and they so can tell you a salvation experience of how they got converted and how they put their trust in Christ and they're not trusting anything else but him. You will hear that from the evangelicals. You will hear that from the cults. You will hear that from the Catholics. You will hear that from the sinners. You will hear that from the people who are drunk in the bars on Friday night. It means nothing. Now, salvation, rather, believing on Christ, faith in Christ, this faith needs works to make it alive. If it has no works going with it, you know it's dead. Just like if you walk up to a tree, it may be a tree, sure enough. But if there's no leaves on it and it's in the time of year for leaves, you know the tree is a dead tree. It's still a tree, but it's a dead tree. It's not going anywhere. It's not doing anything. It's not accomplishing anything. We might have true faith in God. We may truly believe in Him. We may believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. But if we do not have works to go along with it, it's a dead faith. It won't do anything for us. It will not save us. But we might have faith and works. We might be like the people in Matthew who are working miracles, casting out demons, preaching in the name of Christ in the streets, on fire for God, and we might be going to hell. And what was the determining thing that was wrong in that very religious group of people who was rejected in the Day of Judgment? They hadn't listened to the Word. They had believed in God and gone about to live religion in their own way. They hadn't obeyed the Word. That was the deciding point. That was where they were rejected. They were rejected because they worked iniquity. The Word will cleanse you from iniquity. Okay, the Word will wash you. Tells us. And as that passage immediately went on, Jesus described the person who listened to His words. And some heard them and did them, and some heard them and didn't do them. And the person who heard them and did them built himself a house that nothing could destroy. The person who heard them and didn't build them, the person who heard them and didn't do them also built himself a house. Where does the Scripture say that the Word is the rock? Oh! He builds his house on the rock.
Right.
Yeah, when he hears and does the Word. Yeah. He is. And so if you receive the real Jesus, in reality, you receive the Word. You can't receive the real Jesus and reject the Word. But you can think you have received Jesus, and you can pray to Him, and you can worship Him, and you can count Him as your only hope, and you can respect Him and talk about Him and love Him and everything. And if you've rejected the Word, you've rejected Him. There is nothing in all of Christianity. There's nothing to trample on the settled, sure and permanent truth that has been established in Christianity, that faith in Christ is the way of salvation and that there is no other way. There's nothing in all the Word of God to deny that or to set that aside. But in what way we understand that will dramatically affect our relationship to ecumenical Christianity around us. And the standard that we need to understand, that we need to hold, as to whether or not a person is truly in fellowship with God, is by what they do with His Word. That's the standard. Not whether or not they have believed on Christ, not whether or not they are zealous of good works, not whether or not they're evangelical in doctrine, it's whether or not they are living according to the Bible. That is the basis for true religion. It is the only basis there is. It is the only basis you can build your house on. Every other foundation is a sinking foundation. And what we have in modern America right now is we have got a ton of Christianity, a ton of very deep religion, very spiritual, animated religion, people who are on fire, people who preach on the radio and have a message and have a testimony and have a church. We've got this across our nation by the millions. And it gets very deceitful when you start looking into that kind of Christianity and you look at it and you say, their foundation is right. They've got Jesus Christ. And yes, we have some disagreements with them, but they're good Christian brothers in the Lord. We're judging on the wrong basis, because the basis that God gave us to judge what is a good church and what is right to do and what is right to be was the Word, not believing on Jesus Christ. Right? It is. And the Bible shows us that people who believe in Christ aren't necessarily saved. That's right. That's right. Now, there are a multitude of different relationships, different things that people believe. And what we have had poured into our heads as evangelical Christians is, as Keith told Brandon, if you look at these people and you think they're saved, these are really Christian people, they believe on Christ, they think Christ is the only way to heaven, but you look deeper into their religion, it's always Jesus and something. Jesus and the Sabbath. Jesus and this, etc. You know, you all heard that story. So there are some people who believe in Jesus Christ, and you need to be filled with the Spirit to be saved. And there are some people who believe on Christ, and you need to keep the Sabbath to be saved. And there are some people who believe in Jesus Christ, in salvation through Jesus Christ, through faith in His name, and through the name of Mary. And there are multitudes of other people who believe something else, Jesus, 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 and something. And we, Christians, we've decided, no, it's the people who believe in Jesus without anything else who are the saved people. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that it is the people who believe on Christ and obey His Word that are saved. There is no salvation outside of obedience to the Word of Christ. Now, obeying the Word of God, the Bible never holds up the fact that obeying the Word of God is a means of salvation. Because if you take it that way, you will become a legalist. You will be discouraged all the time. You'll believe you can't be saved because you'll never, ever be good enough. Okay? Read the Bible and apply this doctrine to your life the way the Bible does. It does not make the Bible a law you have to keep to be saved. But it makes the Bible the test of whether or not you have true faith in Christ. You do not listen to the words of Scripture and you profess to believe in Christ, then you have not accepted salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, we have got multitudes of evangelical churches today that are failing on this point, dramatically failing on this point. If you are a human being and you will confess, I believe in God, you can be baptized and join their church no matter what you are doing with your life. If you want to get drunk 6 days a week, if you want to get drunk 7 days a week, you don't even have to come to church. No, I didn't see anywhere in the Bible that says if you don't go to church, you won't be saved either. That would make people who are in prison for their faith not be able to be saved. It does not say anything about I got to get back to my thought. The people, we're talking about the people who who can do whatever they want and believe on Christ and they are saved. That's who we're talking about. And it doesn't matter what you do. If you believe on Christ, you are a Christian. And what we need to maintain is an understanding of Word-based religion. Guys, if you are friends with churches or people who are living the belief on Jesus Christ but don't know anything about a word-based religion that affects the rest of their lives. You need to break ties. That is the focal point that determines Christianity versus all other religion on earth. Whether or not the person is living according to the Bible, whether or not you're listening to it, obeying. I mean, not perfect, but whether or not it is the foundation for your life. That is what separates Christianity from all other religion. Not believing on Jesus. That's out the window. All the way back in the days of Christ, people believed on him who weren't saved. So, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face, his natural face in the glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, we just covered all those verses and everything that we said. So if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Anybody come to your mind? Every time I read this verse, I think of the Catholic Church. I'm sorry they made me do it. I have met more Catholics who were so religious they couldn't talk anything but religion. But every time anything in life went wrong, they could swear a blue streak just as easy. If any of you guys seem to be religious and you can't bridle your tongue, you don't have religion, the Bible says. If you can't shut up when you aren't supposed to say something or when something is wrong, if you can't be quiet, you don't have religion. I got this one person I used to work with, and he was so religious. I mean, he donated stuff to the church, and he couldn't talk about anything but religion, and he knew the only way to heaven was through Jesus Christ, and maybe Mary. Mary is just Jesus' helper, of course, you know. But he could not keep his mouth clean. He's swearing all the time. And he even laughed about it. And every time he would swear, he would say, "Pardon my French." And, you know, okay, I probably would have believed the man was a Christian if I hadn't known of his swearing like that. But the Bible says he is not. Now here's the next verses where modern Christianity is wrong about completely removed. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. There are two things. Do not try to make anything major out of this verse. Remember, when the Jews asked Jesus what the works of God were that they should do, he said, "This is the work, that ye believe on him whom the Father has sent." Okay, that was a thing that Jesus held up as the work that God had for them to do, and that's not in this verse. So this is not an all inclusive verse. It's bringing religion into as few words as you can to get it into one verse, okay? And there's two basic sides to religion: being good to people and forsaking sin. Now, modern Christianity knows the first side of that verse, and they have rejected. What does that mean about many modern Christians today? They're not. They're not. You've We've all heard of the churches who believe that we must accept everybody. We must accept everybody and help them. We have to accept everybody because God has. That's what they tell us. But God has a different thing to tell us, and He says we must accept those who have been born again. The way that we know if a person has been born again is if they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and submitted to His Word. That's the way we tell if a person is a Christian. The Word is going to be the judge in the last day. The Word is going to judge the people who stand at the judgment seat. The Word is the one thing that was exalted above the very name of God. It was put first, top, in the system of authority. And it is the thing that we determine whether or not a person is living a good or a bad life. This is something that's very sad, because in modern Christianity, even among the very most conservative churches and people that I meet many times, who have a standard of obedience to the Word of God, they still have rejected much of the teaching of the Word of God. And they follow impressions and signs and the Holy Spirit, and they find leading in life from all other sources than what the Bible says. And I'm not here to say tonight that God never ever gives that kind of leading. But if you ever do anything that takes the Word of God down from being the most elevated thing that you have in your life, you have gone down a wrong path. The Word of God should be the most elevated thing that we have on this earth. It should be first. It stands even higher than believing on Christ, though it does not in any way negate that, because it is the Word of God who teaches that. Believing on Jesus Christ is still the standard for salvation. It is still the only way of salvation. But in our daily living, what we hold as important, what we have for our standards, the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's not our pastor. It's not a system of doctrine. It's not being nice to people. It's not accepting those who believe on Christ. The most important standard that we have is the Word, everything that it says. And it is not judging on the fruit of a thing. That's another very serious mistake many people sometimes. You say, well, we know people by their fruits. Jesus even has said Himself that we can know people by their fruits. What is one of the fruits that the Word holds out that we should judge people by? Except everything we were just talking about right now as to whether or not you do or don't obey. There's some fruit. There is a lot of people who you can go up to and you can start condemning something that modern Christianity has produced. Some filth, rotten music that God haters record on CDs to make lots of money with and pass out to the conservative Christian church to try to destroy the Christianity they have left. We have people all the time ask the question, why, how can this be bad music when it feeds me? It inspires me. It lifts me up. It helps me. Well, the way that we would know if it were bad would not be based on anything that we felt when we heard it. It would be based on whether or not the Word of God had anything to say about it or not. If the Word of God says that if people who live such and such and such a way are false prophets and deceivers, and people who live for money and for riches aren't going to heaven, if the Word of God says that, and that was the way these people are living, then the Bible has something to say about that music. does it just help you to feel good while you're living in disobedience to His Word? Yeah. Most people, the help they get from it is encouragement in a life of sin. We don't need that kind of encouragement. So everybody on earth will one day confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, but only those who build their house on His Word, by hearing it and doing it, will actually be saved. So do we have anything else on this passage before we close? There's one other thing I should point out here. Verse 25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." If anybody were to go home believing that salvation was a hard, difficult journey, and that you had to really be careful about how you lived, or you might miss it. You see, the law that we're looking into, that God is requiring of us here, is a perfect law of liberty. It's not a hard law. It is just, it could be as simple as dipping in the Jordan 7 times. It's not something difficult to do. It's something easy to understand. It's something easy to do. The simple matter is, will you do it or will you not? Will you walk away talking evil about the Jordan River, or will you go dip in it? That's all your attitude towards the Word of God should be. You should not be feeling stressed or tied down or hurt by what God tells you to do, because it is a law of liberty. It simply requires that you live a holy life, that you don't sin, that you're an honest person, that you keep separated from the world, the filth of the world. The whole world is filthy, thank you. And that you live your life for other people besides yourself. That's religion. So let's dismiss.